Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Since the tree of devotional service is transcendental, every one of its parts can perform the action of all the others. Although a tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree nevertheless moves. Purport. It is our experience in the material world that trees stand in one place. But in the spiritual world, a tree can go from one place to another. Therefore, everything in the spiritual world is called alokika, uncommon or transcendental. Another feature of such a tree is that it can act universally. In the material world, the roots of a tree go deep within the earth to gather food. But in the spiritual world, the twigs, branches, and leaves of the upper portion of the tree can act as well as the roots. Okay. Makyanatam randasya gyananjana shilakaya chakshu militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa gadamayam dadati swapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yutapita kamalam shri gurun vaishnavamsha shri rupam sakrajatam sakana raghunatam vitam tvam sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Virjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So please repeat after me. Since the tree of devotional service is transcendental, every one of its parts can perform the action of all the others. Although a tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree nevertheless moves. Okay, so this section of Adi Leela, chapter 9, is where we hear Lord Chaitanya speaking about devotional service, and he's giving this figurative understanding of devotional service as a tree. This is something that is, that's also mentioned in the commentary by Bhaktivinoda Thakur on this place in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This tree of devotional service is the metaphor for the burning desire within the heart of Lord Chaitanya to see that the living entities in the material world are delivered. So, when the Lord has a desire, that desire is an actual fact. But the Lord being completely pure and selfless, not only does He arrange something which is specifically for the deliverance of all living entities, but He also has this tendency to want to give the credit to someone else. So, the Krishna Consciousness Movement is that facility arranged by Lord Chaitanya, and at the same time, through this desire of the Lord, He arranges for different instruments to be used to fulfill His desires. Therefore, from the internal view of the devotee, it is completely the Lord's arrangement. But from the external view of the world, the devotee is also being glorified. Thus we have the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is therefore an extension of Lord Chaitanya's own pastimes. But that pastime is enacted through certain mediums. First of all, we have the medium of the founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. And then through Srila Prabhupada, in emulation of the Lord's own qualities own mood, Srila Prabhupada also allows his own followers to be used as mediums for the deliverance of the entire world. Deliverance requires power. It requires potency to transform an entire world which is steeped in ignorance. To transform an entire creation full of criminal mentalities. It takes great power. That power has to be supplied by someone, and that power can run through certain mediums. And everyone who claims to be a follower of Srila Prabhupada has the ability to be a medium through which the will of the Lord and the potency of the Lord can manifest. And in one sense, our entire process of devotional service is simply a process of removing the blocks through which the potency of the Lord can come through, so we can become mediums of the miracle. So this movement is a miracle. If you think about the mission of Lord Chaitanya, it is practically the most audacious thing that anyone can attempt. It is the most audacious mission that anyone can attempt. You have the material creation full, packed, full of living entities, all of which have come here to run away from Krishna. We don't often talk about it, but we should understand that there is a primordial anger that the living entity comes with. This is explained in Bhagavatam. And that primordial anger is the anger that comes because we want to be God, but we can't. So there is a certain frustration and a certain anger that's there within the heart through our attempts to play God, and these attempts fail. At the same time, there is this Krishna consciousness movement. So what is this movement? This movement is audacious. The movement of Srila Prabhupada has come to get the living entities of this world, all the living entities, not just even human form, all the living entities of this world, to accept the very person that they have come here to reject. The very person we've come here to run away from. This mission, this daring mission, is to induce those people, those same people, to accept that same individual. So it's an audacious mission. And because it's the most daring and audacious mission, it requires great potency to be fulfilled. So our process of surrender is that process of being more and more an instrument in the hands of the Lord. There are degrees of instrumentality. You're an instrument to the degree that you allow yourself to be. And our process is very magical and very mystical in that regard. For example, it is not the case that the disciple can surrender fully to the guru. That is not the case. Because that ability to fully surrender, that is a gift. That is bestowed by the Kripa Shakti of the Lord through his devotees. Even as aspiring disciples or aspiring devotees, well, our position is such that we can appreciate what Srila Prabhupada has done. We can appreciate what our spiritual master has done. And then we can work like anything to try to serve, to give everything that we can in the service of Guru and Gauranga. And when these transcendental personalities are pleased, by them being pleased, they open up the gates within the consciousness which allow the living entity, allow the disciple greater degrees of surrender. So our process is extremely personal. The process of Krishna consciousness is extremely personal and is extremely esoteric, because it's always that the process is bestowed. Jaya Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jaya. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kichai Shri Shri Gaunitai Guru Parampara Shri Prabhupada Tulsi Maharaj Kichai.
It is always the case that we are experiencing more than we are qualified to experience. Always. And that's not a problem. It's actually a good thing. There is a very interesting dynamic that happens in the spiritualized consciousness. The person becomes more and they feel that they are less. You understand? As an individual who's practicing devotional life, if we're practicing properly, then as we receive more and therefore have more adhika, at the same time we feel that we are less. Because we're always understanding that whatever I'm gaining or whatever I'm being allowed to do is far more than my own qualification. And in that mood, our gratitude increases, our ability to serve more increases, because the devotee is not relying on their own strength. When we see videos of Srila Prabhupada, we notice that he's like an anvil in this world. Have you ever get a sense of how grounded Prabhupada is? When he's speaking to anyone, you can see not just physically, but you can tell by the way he speaks mentally, intellectually, spiritually, he's completely unshakable. That means there is such a tremendous depth to his devotion. Such a tremendous depth to his devotion that nothing can move him. And what is that depth? That depth is Krishna's own potency running through the entire being of his pure devotee. So here this point is being made about the roots. But there are also the roots of our own devotion. We have so many great opulences in our spiritual practice. For example, Vandana. I was recalling a class that was given by His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And it was on Srila Prabhupada. And he was mentioning how when we read the prayers of Srila Prabhupada, Markane Bhagavad Dham, the Jaladutta prayers, what we are being exposed to is the internal mood of the founder Acharya. And that internal mood is extremely potent. Because if one is able to reflect upon, meditate upon, and try to move in alignment with such an internal mood, then that internal mood, what is it? It is a literal demonstration of someone who has absolutely no obstacles within the heart. No blocks within the consciousness. None of the enemies of the mind exist within that consciousness. And that mood, that feeling of a completely purified consciousness is then expressed in the form of prayer. So the pure devotee leaves clues behind as to how others can follow in such the person's footsteps. So all of these different aspects are there. We can get clues as to the mood and the consciousness, clues as to the desires of such pure devotees. And if we cultivate that, the pure devotees being pleased, they open or they release the different obstacles within our heart. So our process is always one of dependence and surrender. The greatest trick of Maya is to get the living entity to rely on their own strength. It's a trick. Because no matter how strong you are as an individual, you will never match the strength of the material energy. Devyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamevaya prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. It is completely implausible for any living entity to have the strength of the material energy. So as Krishna says, this divine energy of mine is duratyaya. It is very difficult to overcome. And he's of course being kind. It's not very difficult to overcome. It is absolutely impossible to overcome. But he says, those who prapadyante, those who surrender unto me, they can overcome it very, very easily. So the devotee, if we catch the hint, we're not concerned with our own strength. The best thing is to completely forget about your seeming own strength. Sometimes a devotee will see in their chart and it said, oh, you have some spirituality, you're spiritually inclined, you know, you may have been a spiritual person in your previous life, you may have been even a devotee in your previous life. Best to forget about that. Don't worry about that. Just consider where you are now. Right? The more that we feel ourselves dependent upon the Lord, the more our devotional life becomes enriched with not just potency, but also intelligence. Right? There are two types of intelligence. One type of intelligence relates to the karma of the physical body. But that intelligence for a devotee is supplemented by the Lord according to one's devotion. Therefore, sometimes you see people who in the outside world, they weren't so smart. But as they become devotees, they're very, very sharp. That intelligence is Krishna's intelligence working through them. So in this place in the CC, what Lord Chaitanya is speaking about actually is spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the entire world and distributing these fruits. He speaks about these fruits. These fruits are the love of God. You can give what you have. And what you have is what's been given to you by others. So we are very, very deeply intertwined in the destiny of each other. I was just thinking about this point the other day. Sometimes people, not sometimes, people have different karma. So there was one couple who was expressing something a while ago, how the husband was saying that, you know, he had a job, he was earning a certain salary, and then when his wife became pregnant, suddenly his salary tripled like that. I think they moved home and everything like that. It was all in preparation for the child, because the child had the karma to have a more opulent situation. So when the child was on its way, then everything was arranged to adjust according to the karma of the soul that was about to enter into that family. So even as devotees, because to the extent that we surrender, to that extent you're above your material karma. To that extent. So even as devotees, we are playing off each other's strengths. That is why association is so crucial, and that is why appreciation is essential. We simply, and in this pastime, further on, Lord Chaitanya will express that kind of mood that he can't deliver the world by himself. Of course he can. He is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he is demonstrating the position of a devotee. So what he says and the mood that he gives is meant to be instructive. There's this emphasis or this book about Srila Prabhupada as the founder of Acharya. And it's interesting because many devotees don't know, but Prabhupada didn't just set out to start this institution. He was in touch with his god brothers. He was saying that Guru Maharaj wanted us to work together. So why don't we work together to see what we can do to fulfill his desire? It was only when it didn't work out after repeated attempts. Right? And just bear in mind, here we're dealing with Nitya Siddha Vaishnavas. Right? So this is a personality who's coming from the spiritual world. He has been bestowed with all potency to deliver the entire world. But he follows strictly the orders of his spiritual master. And in a very, very humble mood, he's approaching his other god family. The Guru Maharaj wanted us to work together to spread this mission for his pleasure. For his pleasure. Sometimes your guru gives you an instruction and you like the instruction. Right? Because it's what you wanted to do anyway. And Guru Maharaj is obviously a Paramahamsa because he's worked out exactly what your mission is on this planet. Right? Because it's something that you enjoy doing. It's not the same potency. The full potency is you do what your guru said for his pleasure. That's selfless. It's what Guru Maharaj wants for the pleasure of the spiritual master who's making this offering to our founder Acharya. And so Prabhupada approaches in that particular mood. So one of our biggest obstacles, because of the impressions, the samskars that we are constantly receiving from the material world, one of the biggest obstacles is cooperation. What happens when you take a branch away from the tree? What happens when you take anything away from the tree? To the extent that it's away from the tree, to that extent it dies. You understand? Whatever you remove from the tree dies. So our life, our vitality, our spiritual vitality is directly related to just how intimately connected we are to the tree. And that means how intimately we cooperate with each other. And cooperation is difficult. And every single one of us are going to be tested. Deeply tested in our desires to cooperate. And sometimes you may even want to break away from the tree. This is a test by the material energy to see how much you actually want to be Krishna's servant. Actually, I take it back. We don't want to be Krishna's servant. We want to be the servants of the servants of Lord Chaitanya. So in spiritual life, it's always exciting because Krishna will do things through you. You are the instrument. But how much of an instrument, that is a decision that every single devotee is making moment by moment through every single word, thought and deed that we perform. That is the degree to which you are signaling to the Lord how much you are ready to be used as an instrument. And as an instrument, these fruits also include the miracles that you will experience as an instrument. Sometimes you see that devotees are struggling in their spiritual life. That is not necessarily a problem. We think that when we ask for mercy, that therefore it should just come internally. Someone may pray for strength, for spiritual strength. And Krishna will give you spiritual strength by giving you an obstacle which will force you to work so hard to overcome that obstacle that you become very strong. Someone may pray to the Lord, please help me to surrender. And then Krishna may take away all the things that they're attached to give them exactly what they require, exactly what they're asking for. In fact, the irony of our lives, whether you're materialistic or spiritual, is that you've only ever been given whatever you've requested. But there are two qualities of request. There is a quality of request in knowledge, and there's a quality of request in ignorance. And this should be the divide between the materialistic people and the spiritual people. But to be honest with you, it's not, which is unfortunate. Let me explain what I mean. The quality of the request in ignorance is like the materialistic person. The materialistic person, they're like a person who goes into the restaurant, they order something for the menu, they don't even look at the price. Okay? They've just ordered, they're so fixated on the enjoying spirit that all they see is what they're going to enjoy. Practically, it's forgotten that there's also a price to that particular item. So when the price tag hits them later on, they're completely shocked. But the price tag was always there. Now, it should be the case that the devotees, they are aware of the price. It should be the case. But to the extent that we don't understand what we're doing, to the extent that we're not following in knowledge, to the extent that our devotional service isn't in goodness or is not transcendental, to that extent you do something and then you're also shocked because you didn't understand what you were asking for. So there's a richness in being an instrument, and there's a richness in understanding and appreciating what's actually going on. Every time we're engaging in this devotional service, the living entity is becoming spiritualized. And we are removing so many of the obstacles which should have happened to us. But it's a very, very delicate and personal process. And also spiritual life for many of us at different times, it will also be a very painful process. So don't be surprised about that. This is the difference between being religious and being spiritual or transcendental. The religious person, doesn't necessarily want to surrender. They just want to accept that there's a God and then do their own thing. You notice that, right? So we believe in God and there's no surrender because now I believe in Him, that's fine. That's as far as it goes. And because I believe in Him, I feel also very good about myself and superior. And in fact, I will also go and ask Him for different things. So they turn up at the church or whatever place of worship with a shopping list. Okay? Father, you know, give me my daily bread. Right? Or I want some toast. I want this, I want that. So many things on the shopping list. But you see, the difference in Krishna consciousness is not just believing in God. It's not believing in the Supreme Person. Okay, now that you understand that He exists, what are the activities? What is the relationship? How are we going to surrender to His desire? His desire. We are so full of fear in this world that when we hear surrender, no one wants to do it. Because we don't really believe that if I surrender to this person, that He is actually going to take care of me. Yeah? Isn't it? We find it hard to accept that He really knows what's best for me, and if I surrender to Him, He's going to really take care of me. He's going to do what's actually best. So there is so much fear in the consciousness. That is why Krishna sends Guru. He sends Guru so we can render some service. The Guru is going to take the devotional service of the living entity, even though the devotional service is of low quality. And the Guru is going to purify that service and then offer that to the Lord. So the Guru is our medium. He is like the door through which we are rendering service. We are bringing things out towards the Lord. But we have to surrender. If you don't surrender more deeply, you'll find that at some point your spiritual life will become dry. It will be dry because the deep experiences that Krishna wants to give to you, you're refusing to allow into your life. This is a reality. To the extent that we don't surrender, to that extent, we're saying to the Lord, please do not use me as an instrument. I don't trust you. So I'm going to keep you at a distance, right? And I will do my own thing. But that so-called own thing will never get you back home, back to Godhead. And even it will never take one into higher levels of consciousness. We were explaining in a class yesterday that you see, there are different degrees of surrender that are required as you practice spiritual life. So when you begin spiritual life, it's like someone walking and there's, you know, like you have a wall. Right? But normally the wall is from the foundation up. But our spiritual life, it is like the walls hanging down from the sky. You have a wall, it hangs down, but just above your head. So you want to get past the wall, you just walk. Okay? Because it's above your head, you can just walk ahead. Next time in your spiritual life, as you move forward, the wall hangs down slightly more. Okay? It's just below your height. So what do to get past the wall? You have to duck. You have to bow down slightly. You carry on in spiritual life, the wall hangs down more. And it comes to a point where the wall is so far down, you have to crawl under. And at a certain point, the wall is so far down, there's no question of going under. You simply lie down, you pay obeisances, and you beg that whoever is on the other side of the wall, but I just can't go any further. You just beg, you just lie down, and you recognize there's nothing else I can do now. Dear Lord, dear Srila Gurudev, by your mercy, if you so wish, please allow me to move forward. Because without your mercy, there is absolutely nothing else that I can do. So therefore, the devotees at Bhava Bhakti cry. Because there is that implicit understanding that your effort's going to do nothing. Your effort will do absolutely nothing, save the effort to simply beg for that mercy to take us forward in our spiritual life. So what happens for many of us is we are cheated or tricked by Maya. Our effort is misdirected. You could use your effort to surrender, but you use your effort to think that you are the doer. Prakriti kriyamana nigune karma nisavasya. Ahankara vimudatma kata hamiti manyate. We consider ourselves a doer. And therefore, you get less for more. More effort, but wrongly directed, therefore you move forward less. And then you may even start wondering, does this process work? Because our process is extremely subtle and personal. Extremely subtle and personal. You have to look and see the devotees that you serve with. You have to try and understand how special these people are. You must try and understand how special these people are. And it's not something that you do when the emergency comes. If it's not cultivated every day, the appreciation for Vaishnavas, you will have trouble. Because one cannot have the mercy of Krishna and surrender to Krishna without mercy of Guru. And one cannot have mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot have love for the spiritual master without having sincere love and appreciation for the Vaishnavas. So it begins with how we treat each other as members of the same family. This is one of the reasons why Shastra is so important. Because when you look at things, you never see things as they are by the naked vision. Pratyaksha is okay. Direct perception is okay as long as it does not contradict and ideally is in line with Shabda Brahma. Right? So direct perception is okay if it's aligned with the authoritative Shastra. So to give an example, sometimes, and we probably all had this experience, you meet someone and they're not a devotee and they are nicer than people that you associate with as devotees. I always hear, sometimes you meet someone, and they're not a devotee and they're nicer, they behave more nicer than the devotees. It's very interesting. So you may look at them in isolation, and it's true. It's true. Some people who are not practicing Krishna consciousness, externally, they have nicer quality, they have more manners than some other devotees, right? But you're not seeing the full vision. You see, the personality an individual manifests is not simply just what they are showing. Anyone and everyone's personality in the conditioned state is also due to the activities they perform. Because when you perform activities, it gives outlets for certain energies that you have. Right? So for example, there was one famous boxer, this was many years ago in the UK, and when he retired from boxing, when he was boxing, he was the gentle giant, this and that. But when he retired from boxing, there was a news article about how he started abusing, physically beating his wife. And I was considering, it's interesting. So this person has a certain nature. Because that nature hasn't been channeled in a healthy way, therefore you see it come out in very, very horrific ways. So sometimes when you see materialistic people, what you have to understand is they have also so many outlets for sense gratification. So therefore, what you're seeing of their personality is also based on them using those outlets. You got your nice guy, who every night has a cup of whiskey, a glass of whiskey to just keep him so-called sane, okay? But if they didn't have those outlets, in many cases you would see a completely different type of behavior. Huh? Imagine if tomorrow there was no soap operas. Think about it. Right? Seriously. Think about it. If there was no TV, radio, people are using these things in order to try and numb the pain because of how much they are confused about life, how frustrated they are. Imagine that. No pubs. Think about it. Right? Even when you see that the employment goes down in a society, you find there's more civil unrest, more riots. So if you take away certain materialistic channels for people, their personality will change. That's why it's considered that those things are not deeply rooted to the soul. Then you have the devotees who've given up so much sense gratification. And they're trying to be so austere for want of some higher goal. So it's not the same thing. It's a very, very special type of endeavor. Even if they're not perfect yet. They may not be perfect yet. But they will be perfect. So when Prabhupada was asked, how many pure devotees are there on this planet? Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? He said, as many devotees as there are in this movement, there are at least that many pure devotees on this planet. At least pure in motive. And this brings us to one last point before we take questions, because I don't want to go over time. It's a very serious responsibility to be a devotee. It means that every single one of us has the responsibility to act in such a way that we maximally inspire and infuse each other in this mission. If you want to pull a smile on the face of the founder Acharya, then try to be an instrument of encouragement to the devotees. Even a kind word, some kind of offering of encouragement, it goes a long way. Try to be an instrument of encouragement and empowerment to each other as devotees, because what you give is going to be what you receive. I'm not sure if it's how this will go down, but I'm going to say it anyway. Sometimes we have this emphasis on this care facility, and it's good. It's good. But be very clear, when we talk about care facility, it doesn't mean that everyone should care for me. Okay? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The emphasis isn't that the devotees need to have a care facility because everyone should care for me. I didn't receive some care. It's a big problem. No, it means that our vision should be, how can I care for others? If every single one of us are focused on giving, then what you give is actually what you're going to receive. Try and understand this. There are many of us, sometimes when we need help, then Krishna will find some way to remind us, you've been practicing for how long? How long have you been practicing Krishna consciousness? I remember last year, this devotee was in real difficulty. I sent this devotee to you to help them, and you had absolutely no time. You just couldn't care less. Another time in your spiritual life, this other devotee was struggling. I sent them to you so that you could give them some assistance and support. You did nothing. And I wanted you to understand what it feels like. What it feels like when I send people to you to look after and you do nothing for them. I wanted you to understand. So even though I'm looking after you in so many ways, now you need help. I want you to understand what it's like. You understand the difference? We will have a care system when we all take responsibility to reach out to others. The emphasis is that it's my duty to help others, because that is the mood and the orientation of a servant. Do you understand? The mood and orientation of the servant is to give. And at the same time, when you do that, you become blessed unlimitedly. Because what you give is reciprocated with by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to unlimited extents. Now at the same time, where we are needed, we should be honest. That's not a problem. But whenever and to whatever extent that you can, you should try to serve others. You understand the point? The emphasis is on what I can give, not what I can take. That's the emphasis. How can I serve others? How can I give to others? Cultivate that mood while being balanced and taking care of your spiritual life properly, intelligently. Don't be sentimental. In the name of being Krishna conscious, don't be sentimental. Try to develop a very balanced consciousness so that you can make it through and that you can also help others. Because to be honest, to help others also requires some adhika. You understand the point? You know, it's not that you know nothing, practically have no spiritual strength, but you're going to help others. It's a very personal thing. Prabhupada, why is it that he's able to help the entire world? Actually, the entire universe. Because he has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord's own potency is working through him. It's not a sentiment. It's not something touchy-feely. Right? You know, you want to save other people, right? But you're too lazy to learn medicine. Right? But it's okay. I really care about people, you know, so they need to have an operation. You know, don't worry. We'll work it out. I really care. But do you know medicine? No, you're probably going to kill the individual. It's not a sentiment. If we really care, we will do the work that is necessary to provide actual support. And essentially that means you also take shelter. You take shelter, you become strong so that you can then allow others or assist others in also doing the same thing that you have done. Does that make sense? Right? So therefore, Krishna consciousness isn't cheap. It's not a sentiment. We should do the best that we can, but that means we should look after ourselves spiritually and in all ways that support the spiritual endeavor so that we can be there for each other. And the emphasis is on what I can give to others, what I can bring to the community, how I can give, because I know that the best way to receive is to give. That's our entire process. To the extent that you surrender, to that extent you can also assist others in that surrendering process, because Krishna's own miracle, intelligence, potency will constantly be flowing through your consciousness, through your intelligence, and manifesting in your entire life. Bhakti breeds bhakti. Bhakti breeds bhakti. The more that you have, the more that you actually receive. The more that we have, the more that we receive. It is simply an upward spiral until the day that you leave this body and you go back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And for many devotees, even before you go back, Krishna will speak to you. He can, you know, direct you. He can appear before you. This is our process. This is how the miracle unfolds. And this is how the tree extends to everyone, because we allow the Lord to work through us by our sincere surrender. And that surrender is a gift that comes from Guru, it comes from Vaishnavas. So much of our progress is actually locked up within the heart of the other living entities, the other Vaishnavas in this room. They're pleased. They bestow their blessings. And you don't know it, but it's because of that bhakta who liked you, who appreciated just that kind word, but sincerely done. Right? It's not a technique. Right? That heartfelt desire. Sometimes you don't even have to say something. You simply genuinely want to see the other Vaishnavas progress in their Krishna consciousness. And you're prepared to get up and to do something to that effect. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, all we have is us. We're like an extremely tiny, audacious group of individuals in this material world. Trying to do something which goes completely against the grain. So, when the pure devotee appears on this planet, like Srila Prabhupada, basically what you have is this. You have the immovable, you have the unstoppable force of the material energy meeting the immovable object of devotion. And we're simply trying to stand behind Prabhupada, because when that energy hits the pure devotee, it doesn't touch him. And as long as we're aligned behind him, to that degree we're also protected. Does that make sense? Yeah? But only to that degree. So we encourage you, make your Krishna consciousness very practical. This isn't an intellectual thing. Look at the prayers. Try to cultivate that mood. Serve with a genuine mood. It's not that you have to do more. It's not like a job. You put more hours in necessarily. It's all about consciousness. Of course, people who are very gross and materialistic, they try and present it as something else, but it doesn't matter. It's actually all ultimately about consciousness, because therefore, Krishna in the heart, he knows sincerely what you actually really think of the devotees. He genuinely is aware what's your actual motive when you're rendering devotional service, right? And even if the motive isn't good, if we're at least able to be honest about it, that's something. Because this is the other side. If you're honest about your shortcomings, Krishna will take them away. There's no need to be quote-unquote embarrassed. You understand? Genuinely, we can say, also from experience, that when we're able to be honest in the association of devotees, okay, I have this anatta. I don't want it to be there, but it's there. Right? It's expected, because you have millions of lifetimes in this material energy. If you can be open and honest about it, and if you can, more importantly, be that devotee who's mature enough for others to be open and honest about their shortcomings, and still lovingly encourage them, you'll see your Krishna consciousness becomes explosive. Because that's madhyam quality. That's madhyam quality. So we want to try and have that mood. Be very open-hearted, be very genuine, be very heartfelt in our desire to help our family members move forward. It's not. It is a competition, but it's a competition in the inverse sense. The more the devotees progress, the more you progress. The more you try to be number one, the more you go to the back of the queue. You see how it works? It works. That's the only way. The only way up is down. That in a nutshell is how the entire movement and the potency of Krishna consciousness works. The only way up is down. The more you go down, the more you Krishna. You see, you go down, but Krishna's hands are there. You bow down. You're bowing down, and he's lifting you up. In fact, you're bowing down on his hands. Right? So you're making full dandavats, but you don't realize you're making full dandavats. You do feel low, but actually you're ascending at the same time because you're in his hands. And even this principle of faith, because we don't trust Krishna and we do hate Krishna, and you should be no illusion about that. We do have envy of Krishna, right? We're simply trying to change that process by seeing what he does, having that appreciation, and then also surrendering a bit more. It's not false. You just have to be honest. Right? Because if you envy anyone in this world, be under no illusion that that means that you're not ready to go back home, back to Godhead. Because the living entities here, they have some minute traces of Krishna's potency. It's tiny. So we have trouble with that devotee who leads the kirtan really nicely, right? You know, or that devotee who plays the madanga just a bit too well, right? Then be under no illusion, then it's not Goloka Vrindavan time. Okay? It's still, as Prabhupada says, work now, samadhi much, much, much later. Okay. So, because we've gone over time, we'll stop there and see what questions they have. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Janita Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Questions or comments, please?